Numbers chapter
number 11. Numbers 11. And I get asked quite often, actually, especially by young families, young couples, young families just starting out in life, and young Christians especially, and how can I be blessed? How can I have my life be blessed? Obviously, if you just get married, you don't want your marriage to end in disaster. You want it to be blessed. You want your adventures and the things that you do in your life, your children, all of it to be blessed. So what's the secret? And I hope this morning to preach to you a message. So if you have questions about that, I hope you'll pay extra special attention this morning. But I hope for all of us it'll be a help to us as we seek to know and to understand how to experience the blessings of God. And so we'll be in Numbers chapter number 11. I'm going to read kind of an unusual portion of scripture to begin. I'll explain it later, but it might catch you off guard. This doesn't seem like much of a blessing. But Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. I pray that you would bless this message as we seek to honor you with your word and preach your word this morning. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to have a blessed life, to experience your blessings, and to know your presence. And I pray, God, that you would use this time in a great way in all of our lives, but especially in the lives of the young families, young people who are here who want to live a life and understand that it's much better to have your blessings than to obviously have your anger. And so, God, I do pray that you bless this time, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I know you're thinking, man, that's kind of a crazy passage Pastor just read. How is he going to pull the blessings of God on my life out of that passage? And I hope to do that, just that very thing this morning. But again, I want to give you kind of some background into this text and some context. And some context into my message in general that will really help you understand where I'm going this morning. And again, I've had a lot of people come to me, and one of the number one questions I get asked is from people in our church, young local families, young local people, how do I experience God's blessings? I want to be blessed. How do I do that? And ultimately, there is no better thing than to experience God's blessings. That's a great thing to have. It's a wonderful thing to have. And we should all desire that and desire to have that in our lives. I want to be blessed. But it is true that the blessings of God don't just fall on any lifestyle. In other words, we don't just choose what we want to do and then God's blessings automatically just fall because that's just what happens. No, there's a certain lifestyle. There's certain behaviors. There's certain mannerisms that God blesses. And as we see from the text, there are certain things that God doesn't bless. Again, take our text for example. If you want the blessings of God, it would probably be a good idea to keep from complaining. That's a good place to start. I think these people would testify to that fact. But there's also something else from this text that I believe that reveals the nature of God's blessings. And to understand that, we need to get the idea again of what's happening in the Old Testament. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." So we're hoping to learn something from this morning, "that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So it's interesting, but in fact, many of the places and the people and even the events that happened in the Old Testament concerning the nation of Israel and even other nations have a direct correlation to the life of a Christian. And what I mean by that is, for example, the nation of Egypt in the Bible, in the Old Testament especially, is a type of, or it has a correlation with the world. So we would say the nation of Israel is a type of the world. The children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt. So the idea here is that as a Christian, we were in bondage to sin and the world. That's the idea there, the picture there. And in fact, that picture continues. The children of Israel were freed and saved by the events of the Passover. You know, they remember the events of that 10th plague, the Passover, when they applied the blood to the doorpost. And if they had the blood on the doorpost, the death angel would pass over their place. It's a symbol, it's a picture of our salvation. In fact, Christ is actually even called our Passover in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. So we understand the correlation there between those things and the type there that we... Now, the Passover is not our salvation. We don't want to confuse that, but it is a type of it, and we can understand that. So again, the children of Israel were freed, and they left Egypt, and even the Red Sea kind of correlates to our baptism. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea." So it's a picture, a type of our baptism. Pretty interesting. It's all very interesting. In fact, when you study, there's a lot of different things in the Old Testament that we can learn from. But this morning, I want to pull from and use that correlation concept to look at the camp of the nation of Israel in the wilderness and explain why God would consume those that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. The outskirts, the fringe of the camp. Why them? Why not those who were right next to the tabernacle? Why the ones that were on the outskirts? And I hope that from this concept, we can see how our lives can be blessed. Now, the camp of the Israelites in the wilderness was very detailed. It's actually quite amazing how they fit so many people. It was all ordered. It was all detailed. They were all camped by tribes. They each had a location where they would camp, and they were in rows, in almost square rows. And in the very center of all of that was the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle was the place where God dwelt. And it was a place where the people went to meet God. The blessings of God flowed out from that place. It's quite amazing. And so the closer you got to the tabernacle, the more of God you would be able to experience. You could see the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. Now, the further away from that you got, the harder it was to see those things. To see the presence of God that dwelt there. To see the different things that were going on there. The further you were away from it. And so you didn't experience God like those who... And honestly, due to the sheer size, and I haven't done the math for it, but due to the sheer size of the camp, it's quite possible that those on the outskirts of the camp couldn't have even seen the temple or the tabernacle. It was so far, it's so vast. We're talking about so many people, a million people in a camp, that for those on the outside, probably couldn't even see what was happening at the tabernacle. They were so far away. But here is the lesson or the correlation for us. In fact, it's very likely that one of the reasons why God did consume the outskirts of that camp was because that's where the complaining started. And it started on the outskirts, and that's why he did that, because that's where it was happening. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason why the outskirts are more prone to complain than those who are directly experiencing the presence of God. There's a reason for that. And again, has a direct correlation to the blessings of God on your life and my life. God's blessings are the greatest when we are closest to Him. So if anybody ever says to you, "Pastor, how can I be blessed? How can I experience the blessings of God?" Get close to God. The closer you are to God, the more of His blessings you experience. In fact, Psalm 16 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." In direct closeness to God, and being on someone's right hand meant your closeness and proximity to them. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand is pleasures forevermore. So again, one of my pastors in my youth used to say, "Get under the spout where the blessings pour out." If you want God's blessings, get where God's blessings are flowing. Put yourself there, and where God's blessings come out, be at that place. And you will experience God's blessings. The idea is that you want to build your life around God. Or another way of putting it is you want to put God at the center of your life. And everything flows out of that, because that's exactly how the camp of the nation of Israel was designed to work in the wilderness. God is at the center, and everything flows out of that. So that those that were on the outskirts of the camp experienced the least of what God was doing in the center. Sadly, we allow things in our life that either keep us from being close to God or keep us from being as close to God as we should be. Or worse yet, they actually remove God from the centerpiece of our lives and our homes. And those are the things, they may not be bad things, but they've got to a place where they're improper in their priority. And we need to put those things in the proper priority. God first. God center. God's agenda first. God's agenda center. And everything in life will flow out of that. And that is how you experience the blessings of God. That is how you experience the presence of God, is putting God first. I've highlighted three areas where we need to work at being close to God or putting God first. The first area I believe that we need to be close to God in is through prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you." Prayer brings blessings. If you want to be close to God, and you want to experience God's blessings, spend time in prayer. We need to seek him. And if we seek him, you will find him. Seek him through prayer. Be close to God through prayer. Now beware here. I want to give you a little bit of warning here when it comes to prayer. Because though God's blessings are found in prayer, those blessings are not to be used for selfish purposes. Now, James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 tells us this: "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." So start praying, first of all. But then it also adds, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts." So yes, God's blessings come through prayer, but those blessings are not intended for selfish purposes. God doesn't bless us to increase our standard of living. God blesses us to increase our standard of giving. That's why it's there. But you will experience God's blessings, but not to increase your standards of living. To give. It's to be a blessing. God blesses you so that you can be a blessing. And that's something we have to understand. So when you go to God in prayer for his blessings, not for you. So we're close in prayer. The second area I wanted to highlight this morning is being close in the Word. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, the Bible says, "If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." If my words abide in you, you have to be close to his Word. Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I like that because it gives us a picture of life. Life can be dangerous, can't it? And sometimes very, very dark. When you go through the journey of life, it can be dangerous, it can be dark, and we need God's word to light the path. Which way do we go? What decision do I make? What do I do here? I want God's blessings, but I have three or four choices in front of me. Which one's the right one? His word will light the path. His word will direct your steps. His word will tell you which way to go to experience his blessing. In Sunday school, we were looking at the lesson of once the path is illuminated, you have to go where it says to go. Once you hear the word of God and understand what you're supposed to do, you have to do it. That's key to God's blessings. And in Sunday school, we looked at the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock." So if you want the blessings of God, yes, spend time in prayer. Yes, seek God's blessings in prayer, but also do his word. Obey his word, and you will experience his blessings. Because here's what happened in the very next verse to this man who built his house upon the rock. In verse 25 of Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, "And the rain descended." Life happened. "And the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock." To me, that's absolutely God's blessing. To experience an intense storm of life where the winds blow and the rains fall and they beat vehemently upon that house and the house stands. That is God's blessing. And that comes to a person who hears his word and does it. On the other hand, in that same passage of Scripture, we hear God's word and we don't do them. We're likened unto a foolish man. In fact, in verse 26 of Matthew chapter 7, we read this, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it." See, the blessings of God are most abundantly found in obedience. If you want to be blessed, obey God's word. You know, we live in a culture, sadly, we live in a culture where what God says about marriage, what God says about sexuality, what God says about purity, what God says about morality is mocked. It's made fun of. It's belittled. And it's branded as old-fashioned and irrelevant. But if you want to experience God's blessings, if you're serious about being right with God, if you're serious about seeing his blessings pour down on your house, if you're serious about your house standing when the storms come, you better pay attention to what God's word says. You better hear his sayings, and you better do it. There's nothing more relevant to those who want the blessings of God than obedience to his word. And let me tell you something, life's going to happen. And you can change God's laws in your life if you want to. And you can say God doesn't really mean that when he says clearly that's exactly what he means. And you can do what you want to in your life. But when the rains come, when the winds blow, when the floods rise, your life will fall. And great will be the fall of it. Again, you want to do what you want to do. Make your choices how you want to make your choices. That's an amazing thing about what God gave us, the ability to choose. But if you choose not to obey God's word, your life will crumble. It's non-negotiable. It's bottom line. Do you want his blessings or don't you? Close in prayer, close in the word. There's one final thought that I want to give you this morning, and that is the blessings of God are also found in church. One of the places where God is to be central and to be first place is in church. In fact, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." The word preeminence there means, well, first place. Let me tell you this, if I was a Hebrew and I was living in the wilderness, I don't know exactly, I would have to stay within my tribe, but I would be as hard as I could, I would try to get my family and as close as I possibly could to the tabernacle. If I could have a front row seat, that's where I'm living. As close to the tabernacle as possible. Because there, I see that I'm constantly reminded of the pillar of fire. Wow, look at that. Yep, that's God's presence. God is with us. He is for us. He's still here. The cloud by day, it's there. It's over the tabernacle. I can see his presence. I can see Moses talking to him. I can see God, and God made very visible signs for them to be able to see. It's there. I can experience what he's doing. I would. I don't know, and I know I'm looking at it 2020. I know I can, you know, look at it and see, well, God burned the fringe, and so, yeah, I'm getting close. But from that perspective, because of what I've learned from what was written aforetime, if I was there, I would be as close to the tabernacle as I could get, as they would let me, if I was a Hebrew living in the wilderness in that time. At the same time, today, in the New Testament, the center of God's agenda is his church. What he intends to do in this world, he intends to do through his church, through the body of Christ, bringing together believers for the purpose of the Great Commission. That's his agenda. That's what he's doing now. And I fear for us, if we look back on our life and look back on the way we lived and we said, oh, how I wish I would have been closer to God's house. I wish I would have been closer to where God was working. I wish I would have been closer to what God was doing. I wish I was better in my attendance. I wish I was more faithful in what he was doing there. Because it's where his blessings were pouring out. Get under the spout where the blessings pour out. It's truly amazing. God doesn't indwell a structure like he did for the children of Israel. He lives in every believer. And he calls those believers together to gather together in his church. And he blesses them together as a church body. It's truly amazing. It's wonderful. The church is the place where God's word is to be preached. We want to have that as a priority. We talked about that with our new building coming up here. The reason why we're doing it, one of the main purposes, is to keep preaching the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But the church not only is the place where God's word is preached, it's also a place that provides fellowship. In Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Sometimes in this life, we need encouragement. Sometimes in this life, it gets to be a struggle going to work, and there's people at work that they don't love God necessarily, and they have a lifestyle that they'd rather choose to do the things that God says not to do. Sometimes that can weigh on you. Gets weary in what you're trying to do, and you need a place where you can come and you can be built up. You can be strengthened in the Lord, and you can be encouraged in the Word of God. You can experience fellowship. That's church. Church is to provide fellowship. The church also provides oversight. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible tells us to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Provides oversight. Lets us know, the pastor let us know when we're getting a little bit outside the lines. You know, if you want the blessed life, that's probably not the way to do it. Yeah, you want to get that fixed. You want to repent of that, get that confessed, get that right with God so you can experience his blessings. Provides oversight. The church also disciples new believers and provides opportunities for ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. The local church is a wonderful place to experience God's blessings. And he does constantly pour them out in this place. And again, I want to caution you, it's not the building. As we get ready, we're actually going to, Lord willing, tear this building down. I'm assuming pretty violently. It's going to be pretty violent. And some people, they're saying, what? And they attribute the building to God's blessing. Because it was in this place that they so experienced his blessings, his provision, his fellowship. But it's not the walls. It's not the sheetrock. Trust me. It's not the wood in there that's half there because the termites have made use of the rest of it. It's not that. It's not the siding. Trust me. It's not the electrical. It's not. It's what God does as his people hear and do his word. And what we're trying to do when we build the building is multiply that. Is multiply the blessings. Because we multiply the people. It's an amazing place. Because it's an amazing place, again, it's not a place, it's a people. Don't miss that. It's the people of God. There's a couple things that I would make the decision this morning about God's church. First of all, decide to be faithful in your attendance. There's no substitute for church. There's not. Again, build your life as close to God's blessings as you can. Center it around it. When I grew up, my parents, I didn't understand it all when I was growing up, but you know, they talked about, you know, I did drugs as a kid. I got drugged to church, and every time the door was open, my parents were there, literally. Every service, we were there. And sometimes I didn't know why we were there. You know, every revival, every special meeting, we were there. My parents decided that they were going to build their family around God's blessings. And literally the jobs they got, the sports we played, everything came second to God. I didn't play sports on Sunday. We didn't work on Sunday. We went to church. And as a result, we got to experience his blessings. Decide that you will make your attendance a priority. Decide to be accountable to leadership. From time to time, people will come to our church, and honestly, they don't last long because it doesn't work this way. They'll come to church, oh, that's a great church, wonderful church. Love the preaching, love the singing, love the people. You're not my pastor. Somebody actually told me that. You will never be my pastor. Oh, sorry. And they were right. I couldn't be their pastor. I couldn't help them out when they needed help. I couldn't tell them, hey, you're outside of God's. Nope. I'm coming for the singing, coming for the preaching. I don't get that, but anyway. They were never able to experience God's blessings because they weren't accountable to leadership. They didn't let me be their pastor. I couldn't. God has given you a pastor and a church leadership for your spiritual benefit. It's for, get this, a blessing. It's one of God's blessings. It's for you to experience it. And you have to, though, let yourself be accountable. You have to let me be your pastor. Be transparent in sharing what you're going through so that I can help. Let me know. Let me pray. Let me serve. Get counsel on major decisions and give us entrance into your life. Invite me into your life. Say, Pastor, could you be there for me for this? Do everything I can. I even come to kids' softball games and baseball games, as long as they're not on Sunday. I'm there. I go to kids' birthday parties. I do all that kind of stuff. Because people are giving me entrance into their life. And they're letting themselves be accountable to the church leadership. And it's important. And then thirdly, decide to be committed in your involvement. Yeah, church attendance is a blessing. It is. I love coming to church. I look forward to this day all week. The Lord laid on my heart what to preach this morning. I started studying, started getting into it. I got excited about it. Got ready for my Sunday school lesson. Got that excited. Tonight's message is all done, ready to go. I'm excited about all of it. I'm really excited about each message. Tonight's message is shake it off. It's good. I like it. And the thing is, I was so looking forward to seeing you and experiencing. I've been blessed this morning. Seriously. It's been a great day in church already, and we're not even done yet. Almost, don't worry. We're almost done.
It's been a blessing to sing the songs, to hear the auntie sing, that just to be in God's house with God's people is such a blessing. I love it. Really, my heart beats faster on this day than in all the other days, because I'm excited about church. But don't just come to church. The real blessing comes when you're involved in church. You know, I know some of you pulled in, you were trying to park up at the church. I know, you sneakers. You were trying to park up at this church, and the ushers got it. Down, park down. They're doing what I told them. They're involved in church, and it's good for them. By the way, it's good for you to park down there, too. Need the exercise. We need the parking spaces for our guests. And the reality is it's good to be involved. The blessings come when you're involved. So find a place. We'll give you a place to be involved. Determine that you will be a part of God's work through your church. Find a spot. Find a job. That's my job. That's what I'm, and if you're not here, it's not getting done. Sometimes there's big holes that are left. Be involved. Determined to be in church, determined to be accountable, and determined to be involved. And man, will you experience the God's blessings. Prayer, Bible, church. You know, I was thinking about those people who lived on the outskirts. You know, I think living on the outskirts had its advantages. Now, personally, I'm not one for large crowds and close quarters. Really, I love being packed in here. It's great. I'm not really like that. I usually, you know, when it comes to living, maybe the outskirts wouldn't be too bad. I like my space. For the children of Israel, being on the fringe of the camp may have meant being first in line to get the manna. You know, every day the manna comes, you're right there. Hey, we're here. Woo-hoo! First pick, you know, it's great. Maybe that's what it meant. Maybe being on the fringe did have its advantages. I don't know. But one thing I know is that it came with devastating consequences. It meant, first of all, that you would be distant from the presence and blessings of God. In life, we have choices. Some opportunities may have their advantages. It's going to pay me this amount of money an hour. Wow. Advantage. But it also comes with a devastating consequence, and that means that to do that job, you can't come to church on Sunday. Ouch. So which life do you want? Which life do you want to live? What do you want for your family? Do you want to build your house on the rock or the sand? The choice is yours. The opportunities are before you. But Joshua said something, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I hope that for you today, you will determine, as for me and my house, we're going to build our lives around the blessings of God. We'll be a people of prayer. We'll be a people of the word. Not just hearing, doing. And we'll get to God's house. We'll be faithful in our attendance. We'll be accountable to the pastor. And we'll be involved in service. I promise you this. I will be willing to stake my very life on it because I believe this book. If you will do that, you'll make a priority of prayer, priority of the word, and hearing and doing what the Bible says, and you'll get to church, be faithful in your attendance, you'll make yourself accountable to the leadership, and you'll get yourself involved, you will be blessed. I promise you that. You will be blessed. Your house, when the rains come, when the winds blow, when the floods rise, will stand firm. For me, what more could you ask for?
You know, it's funny because I recently heard of a question being posed. It was on, in an online video, and it was amazing with a crowd of people. Here's the question. You can think about, imagine this for yourself. Would you leave your job never to work it again? Some of you are already, yes, what is it? You're already giving in, right? For $160 million. Never to do it again. Believe it or not, there were people that actually said no. They love their job so much that they didn't even, I mean, they must be getting paid. I don't know what's going on. But let me ask you this question. Let me change it a little bit for us this morning. Would you leave the blessings of God? You could never pray again. You could never read your Bible again. You could never go to church again for $160 million. If you're even thinking about it, you don't know the value of God's blessings. You don't know the value of God's presence. You don't know how blessed the blessed life is. I want to challenge us this morning as we close. Make the decision today to get close to God. It's never worth it because the foolish man lost all of his stuff because he left doing what God had said. No matter how much stuff you have that you get because you're disobedient to God, you'll end up losing it all. Make the decision today to leave the fringe. Get close to God in prayer. Get close to God in the Word. And get close to God in church. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. God, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, I've been so impressed by your people who recently, many of them have come up to me and said, Pastor, how can I be blessed? How can I experience God's blessings? How can my home be blessed? It's very simple. Get close to God. God, I do pray that you'd help us to truly get close to you, to seek you, to pursue you, to be obedient. And Lord, my prayer is for somebody here today. You know, the truth is the only way to get close to God is through Jesus Christ, through salvation through Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm a sinner. We all know that. We're all sinners. But the Bible says there's a price for our sin. The wages of sin is death. It's separation from God. The place the Bible calls very clearly is hell. It defines it very clearly for us. It's what we deserve. But if you're here today and say, Pastor, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that I deserve to go to hell. But I understand that Jesus could save me. I'd like to know more about how Jesus could save me from my sins. I'd like to know more about how to be saved. If that's you here today, I want to pray for you. If you would just slip your hand up real quickly, every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. You slip it up real quickly and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure Jesus is my Savior. I have some doubt about that. If I was to die, I'm not sure he's forgiven me of my sins. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call your name, not going to call you out, not going to have you stand up. You're going to sit there in your seat, raise your hand up, put it right back down. I'll see it, and I'll pray for you. If there's somebody here like that today, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. And then, Christian, you have a choice before you. Do you want the blessed life? Get close to God. Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books. We're going to go to hymn number 118.